Could our soldiers be hit in the region? Absolutely, they could. Can Iran respond if we have an all-out attack? Absolutely, they can. I think the risk associated with that is far less than the risk associated with blinking and pulling the plug and not helping the people as you promised. We told them to go back in the street, keep protesting. Help was on the way. We have to be good to our word. So this trip is a special trip for me. It's putting a fine point on something I've been working on for over 2 years.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 17th, coming to you from Larnaca, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the negotiations that are taking place in Geneva, Switzerland. We have two very high-level negotiations taking place. In Geneva, we have the United States, Russia, and Ukraine, which is taking place as I am recording this video update, with Witkoff and Kushner on the American side. We got Umerov on the Ukraine side, and on the Russian side, we have lead negotiator Medinsky. He is back negotiating for the Russians, and then after the negotiations with Russia, the United States will then enter negotiations with Iran. Pretty chaotic day for Witkoff and Kushner. They're going to go to one big high-level negotiations with the Russians and the Ukrainians, and then they go to another high-level negotiation with the Iranians. Not sure how much. Whoa, look at that. Right. That is awesome. Look at that guy. All right. So, what was I saying? Who cares? Who cares what I was saying? Anyway, let's see here. Yeah, how much can they get done? How much can they accomplish? Kushner and Witkoff. Russia, Ukraine, then the Iranian negotiations. So Medinsky, he is going to be at these negotiations in Geneva, and Peskov explained why Medinsky was not present at the negotiations in Abu Dhabi, and he said that Medinsky has always been the lead negotiator throughout this entire process, and Peskov is referring throughout the entire process. He means going all the way back to 2022 and those negotiations. And the reason he was not in Abu Dhabi. I'm getting Abu Dhabi and Oman confused with the Iranians negotiating with the United States in Oman. But the reason he was not in Abu Dhabi was because those negotiations focused purely on security issues. So there was no need for Medinsky to actually be present at those negotiations. But this time around, Peskov said they're going to talk about a broad range of issues, including territory and security and all kinds of stuff like that. So Medinsky is going to be at these negotiations. The Russians, they agreed to Geneva. The Americans requested Geneva because they also had the negotiations with Iran in Geneva. And so they could not negotiate this time around in Abu Dhabi. Zelensky. He wanted negotiations to take place in Miami. Obviously, that was not going to happen. Cannot have Witkoff and Kushner in Miami and then flying to Geneva to meet with Iran. And so they all agreed to Geneva. Everybody agreed to Geneva, Russia, Ukraine, Iran. And the Russians, they had quite a flight to get to Geneva. You're looking at a 2-3 hour flight. Under normal circumstances in a sane world, it would be a 2-3 hour flight from Moscow to Switzerland. But because of the EU and their flight restrictions for Russia, closing off their airspace to Russia, they had to get permission from Italy. The United States actually had to get permission from Italy for Russia to use Italian airspace. Then the Russians had to go all the way around. And the 3-hour flight took something like 8 hours for them to get to Geneva. They were afraid to cross over Eastern Europe. The Russians were afraid that the crazy countries in Eastern Europe might actually do something to the flight. So they decided to go all the way around in the United States. They secured the airspace over Italy and some other countries as the Russians went all the way around, and they made it to Geneva. But Medinsky, he is back, and also at these negotiations, we have Dmitriev, who will be present as well, but he will be in a different room, is my understanding of things. He's going to be negotiating on a completely different track. Different room, different deal. He's not going to be with the Medinsky team negotiating on territory and security and stuff like that. He's going to be negotiating with Witkoff and Kushner on business stuff. But he will be there. And also for Russia, you're going to have the deputy foreign minister, Galuzin. He is also going to be present, as will Kostyukov, who was the negotiator in Abu Dhabi, dealing with the security, military security issues. He's also going to be present, but the deputy foreign minister is also going to be there. And this is important because now you have the foreign ministry at these negotiations. And actually, this deputy foreign minister, Mikhail Galuzin, he floated the idea the other day that Ukraine, a solution for Ukraine, should be to place it under some sort of trusteeship. He actually floated that idea. He's a hardliner. This guy is a hardliner, as is Medinsky. Medinsky also takes a tough approach, and the Ukrainians do not like the fact that Medinsky is going to be there in person because he takes a hardline approach with the Ukrainians as well. And the foreign ministry, they floated out the idea, Galuzin, the idea that in order to sign an agreement with Ukraine, because Zelensky is not capable to sign an agreement with Russia, and one way that you can get around that, Zelensky being illegitimate and all since 2024, according to the Russians, one way you can get around the Zelensky issue is that you put Ukraine under a trusteeship. And perhaps the UN can look over Ukraine. Perhaps some other country can manage Ukraine. Maybe Russia can manage Ukraine. We don't know exactly how the plan is going to go. But this trusteeship manages Ukraine until you can get a fair election going. And then you can also sign an agreement with Ukraine, which ends the conflict, obviously. Le Gobelin Vert is not going to like that idea. They do not like that idea. But rumor has it that this is what one of the proposals that Russia might pitch to the United States. You want to get around Zelensky and the fact that Zelensky doesn't agree to anything. And you want to get to a point where we can have elections, get fair elections going, and then get to some sort of a peace agreement. Well, then let's place Ukraine under some sort of trusteeship. That's the way to get around the Zelensky regime. So we'll see what happens during these negotiations. The Kremlin said that there will be no statements made today. Tomorrow, the team will also stay in Geneva, and then they're going to leave later in the afternoon, early evening. But I'm sure we'll get all kinds of leaks from people familiar with the matter, from those anonymous sources that the collective West mainstream media somehow always has access to. The Russians will remain quiet. They're not going to say anything or leak anything. But on the collective West side, on the U.S. side, I'm certain that we're going to get leaks from people familiar with this matter, telling us what happened during these talks. Whether we can believe these leaks, we will see. We will see what they say. I'm sure that a lot of the leaks will say that the negotiations went well and Witkoff is very happy with the progress of the talks. Trump on Air Force One, he was speaking to the media and he sent a warning to Le Gobelin Vert. He said that that he better agree on a deal quick. He better get to the negotiating table and agree on something quick. Time is running out for the Green Goblin. Right before the negotiations, before everything started, we had big drone strikes from both sides. Russia launched massive drone strikes hitting energy infrastructure in Odessa, in Dnipropetrovsk, smashing the energy facilities in various regions throughout Ukraine. And Ukraine launched very, very big drone strikes into Russia. They targeted Sevastopol. They targeted Crimea. My understanding of things is that the drones, they were targeting energy facilities. Ukraine says they did damage to energy facilities. The Russian media, the Russian sources say that Russian air defense was able to handle this very big drone attack into Russia. So as the Russians are negotiating with the Americans, Ukraine being the proxy of the United States, we see that Ukraine launches drone strikes, of course, with the United States behind Ukraine, providing all of the targeting and satellite data for those drones being launched into Russia. So we see the game that is going on here. So Politico is saying that Berlin is very upset with Paris. Merz is very upset with Macron. I've actually been talking about this over the past week, how Merz and Macron have had a falling out. They do not like each other at all. The E3 band has broken up. Meloni has replaced Macron in the band of Merz-Stammer. Merz-Stammer and Meloni now. Now, no longer is it Merz-Stammer and Macron, but the German foreign minister, he is telling France that it is time for France to start cutting spending, to engage in some good old-fashioned economic austerity. He is telling France to give up the idea of Eurobonds and to start doing what Germany is doing. Time to start deindustrializing. That is how France can up its military spending. Merz and Germany is very upset with the fact that Macron is not spending on as much on military as some other countries in Europe are, and that Macron is not deindustrializing fast enough, at least according to German standards. And they are telling France that it is time to deindustrialize. It's time to start taking money out of various social programs, start cutting the budgets of various social services, and start allocating that money to the military-industrial complex. Berlin's thinking is that if we're going to deindustrialize and our economy is going to go down and implode, well, France, you got to go down with us. That is basically the message from Berlin. Germany's foreign minister, Wadapol, said France needs to spend more on defense, even if it means cutting other kinds of spending. Macron repeatedly and correctly speaks of our pursuit of European sovereignty, Wadapol told German public radio in an interview on Monday. Anyone who talks about this must act accordingly in their own country. Unfortunately, efforts in France, in the French Republic, have so far been insufficient to achieve this. We therefore call on France to do what we are doing here with difficult discussions to create investment capacity, including in the social sector, to take one or two austerity measures, to make savings in other areas too, in order to have the breathing space needed to achieve the vitally important goal of European defense capability, Wadapol said. I am not reading well today. Austerity is what Germany is calling for. They want France to start cutting spending to various services so that they can deindustrialize, like Germany is deindustrializing. So Lindsey Graham was in Israel. Where else is he going to be? Either Ukraine or Israel. That's where you can find Lindsey Graham. You will not find him in the United States, in South Carolina, that's for sure. But he was in Israel, and he is talking up a future military operation. Lindsey Graham believes that the time is now to strike Iran. He is claiming that if there is a big military operation against Iran, then the regime will fall. He says they are weak. They are still operating, according to Lindsey Graham, F-14s. And Graham said that that these were good fighter jets during Top Gun, for which Lindsey Graham said was a good movie. He liked Top Gun, I'm sure. I'm sure Lindsey Graham liked Top Gun, especially the volleyball scene. But anyway, Lindsey Graham, he said that now is the time to strike. Now is the time to strike Iran. And he also said that the United States, it was an interesting statement from Lindsey Graham. He said that the United States made a promise to, and he used air quotes, he said to people protesting, and he did this motion, the air quote motion. Not many people got that. I don't think anyone caught that. But interesting that he uses air quotes when he described people in Iran protesting, as if he's saying that, well, these weren't real protests, right? People protesting, he said. These weren't really protests. This was a manufactured regime change. So this is a sculpture. It's a sculpture. I was thinking this is not some sort of art, but it is. I think now I get it. I think I get it. Anyway, yeah, Lindsey Graham. People protesting. We promised them that we would strike the regime. And he also admitted that Iran will retaliate against the United States if there is some sort of military operation. And he did say that our soldiers could be hit. They absolutely could. That's something else that he said as he was speaking to the media or giving this speech. So Trump was also speaking about Cuba to the media as he was on Air Force One. And he pretty much admitted that what's going on in Cuba is all about a regime change. He said that negotiations are taking place between the United States and Cuba. They're taking place right now. As he's speaking to the media, we are engaged in negotiations and diplomacy. Of course, Trump said that he hopes Cuba will make a deal. And when Trump says that he hopes Cuba will make a deal, Trump means that he hopes the government in Cuba will go into exile, will leave. Just like he was saying about Maduro, right? He was saying that it's good for Maduro to just leave, to go to Iran or to China or to Russia. So he's pretty much saying the same thing with regards to Cuba, or at least that's what he's getting at when he says that he hopes Cuba will make the right decision and will make a deal. But then he also said that Cuba has no money, they have no oil. He said there's an embargo, there's nothing they can do. And he's hinting at squeezing Cuba so that the government does collapse. And if the government does not leave, then there will be a forced collapse and a forced regime change. A reporter asked Trump, are you going to do to Cuba what you did in Venezuela, some sort of operation to kidnap the leadership? And Trump said, I don't want to answer that. He then went on to talk about AOC and Gavin Newsom at the Munich Security Conference and how they were bad representatives of the United States in Munich. I think you can see the possible 2028 Democrat ticket, Newsom, AOC. Is it going to be Newsom as president, AOC as vice president, or is it going to be AOC as president and Newsom as vice president? I can't see Newsom agreeing to be the vice president under AOC. But then again, AOC has a huge, massive ego. I can't see her, at least in the beginning, agreeing to to being Newsom's VP. But I think AOC, after a while, if Newsom does become the front runner, I think AOC would be more likely to agree to be the vice president than Newsom would be to agree to be AOC's running mate. But anyway, Trump said that they're incompetent. He said that they can't answer basic questions about what's going on in the world. And they made fools of themselves in Munich. You know, Trump's not wrong. he's actually right about that. AOC could not answer a very simple question about Taiwan and China. But she's getting coaching. My understanding of what's going on with AOC is that they're absolutely now introducing her to the world as a potential Democrat nominee for president. And she's getting some sort of geopolitical coaching from some neoliberal guy, this neoliberal guy who's all in for Project Ukraine and escalating with Russia. One of these Hillary Clinton Obama neoliberal officials in DC, think tankers or ex Obama Clinton officials. And he's coaching AOC. I forgot the guy's name, but AOC was speaking to a crowd at some event, think back in the United States, and her approach with Venezuela, her problem with Venezuela is that Trump left the Maduro regime intact. He left parts of the Chavez Maduro government intact. He just kidnapped Maduro, and you have Delcy Rodriguez there. So Trump didn't regime change Venezuela hard enough, according to AOC. She's more hawkish than Trump. At least that's the message that she was putting out there. All you did was kidnap Maduro, but you left Delcy Rodriguez there, and you left a whole Chavismo, a whole political ideology in Venezuela and in government. If it was AOC, she would have removed the whole freaking thing, right? She would have kidnapped everybody, AOC. She would have kidnapped everybody. So that's what she said about Venezuela. God help us if we have Newsom and AOC. But then again, would it be any different than everybody else before them? Probably not. Definitely not. So what else before we get to a clown world? Keir Starmer is now talking all about saving the children from the perils of social media. Social media is the problem now for Keir Starmer. I think we all understand what's going on here, but he's taken up the cause of protecting under 16-year-olds from the evils of social media. And he wants to take on infinite scrolling. He says infinite scrolling is very, very bad, what you have in TikTok and Instagram, where you infinite scroll. He says it's destroying our children. That's the problem. That's right, Keir Starmer. The problem is infinite scrolling. And it looks like the UK is setting things up to ban social media for 16 and under. Keir Starmer vows to tackle social media infinite scrolling. Keir Starmer said the UK government needs to look at some of the addictive features on social media that mean you never stop scrolling. Yes, there's the sort of overarching question of whether under 16 should be on social media at all. There are features within social media that are intended to make it addictive. So the sort of constant scrolling, the sort of autoplayer for next thing, all of these are designed to keep young people on screen, not off screen, and we have to tackle that, Starmer said. Yeah, don't talk about Epstein, Mandelson. Let's forget about all of that. Let's protect the children from social media. That's the cause that Starmer is now taking up. And of course, Project Ukraine. We can never forget about money going to Project Ukraine. We are getting reports which say that UK unemployment has hit the highest level in 5 years. 5.2% UK unemployment rate rises, the highest in nearly 5 years. So more money to Ukraine, I guess. I guess that's how you tackle the economic problems in the UK. You tackle the social problems, the Epstein problems, the Epstein scandal, by going after social media and infinite scrolling. You tackle the economic problems in the UK by giving more money to the Green Goblin. That's how you handle unemployment. That's how you handle the economic downturn. More money to Alensky. John Healey, he said that the Collective West is going to give $35 billion to the Green Goblin. Oh, that feels good, right? Warm sun, it's got to feel good. And the UK is going to give $500 million right away for air defense to Ukraine. So there's a report from TMZ. Not sure how much they can be trusted. I don't think they can be trusted at all, but they are saying that Epstein may have had a collection of highly poisonous plants known to produce a drug that blocks free will in its victims, according to newly discovered emails in the last document dump of the Epstein files, according to TMZ. So that's what they're going to go with, huh? That's what they're going to go with, really? It was plants, poisonous plants, that blocked people's free will, that blocks free will in its victims. So I guess what they're trying to say is that Epstein used this poisonous plant to get high net worth, powerful politicians, powerful people to do things that they would have not have done if they didn't have access to this plant. Is that what's going on here? I'm not quite sure. We're talking about poisonous plants. We're talking about frogs from Ecuador, dart frog poisons from Ecuador. Okay. I think we see a theme here from many of the script writers in the Collective West. What else? Should we just do a clown world? Not sure how safe these boards are. Let's see if I fall through. Yeah, let's do a clown world. Wrap up this video. I haven't talked about Obama and his comment on aliens, have I? I don't think I've addressed that. But Obama, he gave an interview to some YouTube guy. Who's the YouTuber? Brian Taylor Cohen's No Lie Show. And he asked Obama if aliens were real. And Obama said, they're real, but I haven't seen them. They are not being kept in Area 51. So how would he know if they're real if he hasn't seen them? I haven't seen them. I was president of the United States. I haven't seen any evidence that aliens are real. I haven't seen any evidence of aliens. They're not in Area 51, but they're there. They're there. They exist. And so everyone freaked out with this comment from Obama. And then Obama posted on Instagram that statistically, the universe is so vast that the odds are good there's life out there, but the distances between solar systems are so great that the chances we've been visited by aliens is low. And I saw no evidence during my presidency that extraterrestrials have made contact with us, really, he added. So he's walking everything back. He's walking the whole aliens thing back. It was a good distraction, I guess, for a couple of days. Obama saying that aliens are real. Then he had to walk it all back. It's a big universe, Obama said. Very big. Probably, maybe. Maybe. There's a chance that it's such a big universe that there may be life in this big universe. But I don't think they visited us. I don't think they have come to planet Earth. That is what Obama said. And finally, we have a photo on the interwebs addressing the fight, the row between Alensky and Orban. Well, really addressing Alensky making fun of Orban's looks, right? Alensky has been making fun of Orban. Orban's weight, to be more precise. And so we have a side-by-side image of Orban at 35, playing football, looking in good shape as he is playing football. He's a footballer, and that's at 35 years old. And we have next to Orban playing football, we have Alensky at 35. What was Alensky doing at 35? Orban is playing football at 35. What was Alensky doing at the age of 35? Because Alensky is making fun of Orban's appearance. Well, at 35, Alensky was dancing in high heels in some comedy parody music video. And we all know the video that I'm talking about where he was dancing in high heels. That was Alensky at 35. So that photo is on the interwebs. The globalists like that video, by the way. They find that video endearing. They actually like Alensky because he put out a video like that, right? That video does not do Alensky damage in the eyes of the globalists. That actually helped him. In the eyes of the globalists, the minute they saw that video, they said, that's the guy that we want to be president of Ukraine. That guy dancing right there in those high heels. That's the guy that we want. I like that guy. That guy right there. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble. We're on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop. Pick up some merch. Link to the Duran shop is in the description box down below. Check us out on Substack. That link is in the description box down below. Also, like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel, and I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.